$319,000. He is retired, going to stand the 2012 season at Airdrie Stud. Now, Haynesfield won 8 stakes. He was a stakes winner every year he raced, at 2, at 3, at 4, and at 5. He won the coveted Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Eclipse Award winner Blame. In fact, he was the only horse to defeat Blame during that Eclipse Award winning year. He also won the Grade 2 Suburban. Another race long noted as a stepping stone to success at stud. He won the Grade 3 Discovery Handicap. He was second to Jersey Town, another Grade 1 stakes winner by Sprightstown, in a head-bombing duel in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Sprightstown, winner of an Eclipse Award as champion sprinter, has climbed to number 8 on the 2011 sire list, with 14 stakes winners and the earners of more than $8 million this year. With the 4 crops of racing age, he has 27 stakes winners, including 4 Grade 1 stakes winner. And Haynesfield's Dam won a place in graded stakes. Haynesfield is to stand for $10,000 live foal with breeding incentives available. In fact, listen to this. The breeder of record of a first crop Haynesfield graded stakes winner, either as a 2-year-old or 3-year-old in the U.S. or in Canada, will receive a one-time $50,000 breeder's reward and a lifetime breeding right to Haynesfield. In addition, any agent that books a season through Airdrie Stud will be awarded with a $20,000 award if the mare produces a graded stakes winner satisfying the above-mentioned criteria. So there's a great deal going there. And remember now that he's going to stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The website is airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
The horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's kind of a chilly day, and partly cloudy here at the Thoroughbred Center, or the Clocker Stand, and but not too busy today as far as clocking goes. I guess we ended up with maybe about 45 workers, something
probably.
Like that. Yeah. Track was a little bit on the muddy side, but what would you expect after all this rain we've had?
Exactly. Yeah. They went pretty quick, short, but when they went long, it was, I guess, a little tiring. Yeah.
Well, we can't complain about the track here. I'll tell you what, we're having a great year here, this a great month, a great year, too, at the Thoroughbred Center, as far as winners can go, goes. Already in the first 16 days of December, we've had 40 winners. 40 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. 20 winners in since last week's show. So that's 20 winners in the last 7 days. And, gee whiz, that's awfully good. We had 5 winners last night, 4 at Turfway, 1 at Mountaineer. In 2 of those races at Turfway, we ran 1-2-3. In another race, we ran 1-2-4.
Oh, funny. That's amazing.
So
this is a fabulous place to train. Come
it's
on.
It's great. Well, anyway, the trainers are these, since the last week's show of these horses, and I'd have to go back and turn page 2. We also had 2 quarter horse stakes winners, by the way, so we're going to talk about them. What was last week, the 10th?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Matt Frazier took, and I counted these because these are horses that trained right here, and they hadn't been down there 10 days, and he started, these are quarter horses at Hialeah, and he started 5 horses down there. And won 3 races and 2 stakes. He won with riding an easy streak. And he won the Orange Blossom Stakes the next day with Skyline Lover. And then he came back the day after that and won a stakes race, the Foxy Lady Stakes, with a horse called Eye Opening Favorite. So that's Matt Frazier. He also ran one last night at Turfway and ran second. For Matt Howard out there, a little horse named I got his chart around here.
Who? Spooky.
Oh, yeah, Spooky. I have a hard
Thank
time with Spooky.
You.
Spooky Spirit.
That was Holly over there.
Yeah, nothing spooky about him. But there you go. Okay, now getting to the thoroughbreds. It's Steve Casey, Ron Pellegrini, Scooter Hughes, Eduardo Caramori, John Paul Puchek, Tommy Mills, Kellen Gorder, Gennaro Garcia, Howard Rice, Ted Lucas, Paul Garcia, Tracy Young. And last night, we had four Turfway, as I said. Ted Lucas, Scooter Hughes, that's Byron G. Hughes, John Paul Puchek again, and Tommy Mills. And Jimmy Cargan saddled a winner at Mountaineer. So it was five winners yesterday. And once again, that's 40 winners in 16 days and 20 winners in the last week. And, of course, you count those two stakes, winners at quarter horses, and by golly, that's, I don't guess. I don't think anybody trains quarter horses out here. Well, maybe Paul Brown does, got one or two. But, Matt Frazier. And incidentally, they all belonged and were bred by his father. Yeah, so I
that
guess
it works.
Yeah, he doesn't live at home, although he might invite him back now.
might get him something for Christmas under the tree.
But I thought that was really, well, that's really good. I love it out here.
It's a great place to train. Everybody's friendly.
Everybody's friendly and nice people. Everybody gets along.
Which is important.
And the track is superb.
So's the gate crew. And clocker,
Nobody Nobody likes a clocker, but other than that.
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing today? Neil Howard, who, of course, manages Gainesway Farm right next door, is going to come over and sit down and chat with me. I've been trying to get Neil all summer. Finally nailed him. He gave up, I think.
There you go.
I bird dogged him all for the last 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, 2 months, I guess. But he's a busy man. But there's a little let up right now, so he's going to come up. I'm going to sneeze here in a second. Of course, Dr. Byers will be here. Michael Blowen's going to come in. Going to try to get Steve Moody to get us a winner down at the fairgrounds. We are doing the 1958 two-year-olds. I've already done the champion two-year-old, which was First Landing. We're going to do Tommy Lee, horse that I remember very well. I can even describe him for you if you want me to. Physically, but I saw him in the paddock at Keeneland before the Bluegrass Stakes, first time ever. So I didn't see him much in the paddock. I mean, it was a big crowd around him, and he had all you could see was his head and neck, and he had that look. I stood there and watched him a minute and turned around and bet on him, and he won. Went to the Derby, and he beat Sword Dancer that day in the Derby in a great race. I mean, it was one of those where it was a head bobber.
Yeah.
But I really liked that horse, but he wasn't imposing physically. He was a light-bone horse, a rangy type of horse, but he had a great look about him, you know. He had that look in his eye, and I just loved the horse. He was a dead game horse. And his trainer, Frank Childs, who was 70 years old at the time, and he says that if he didn't think his horse would ever been beaten, if he had run him, just kept him at distances under a mile.
Yeah.
He was by a top miler, a horse named Tudor Minstrel, who was started out standing in England. And he sired in this country before he was imported. Puna II, who was won the Santa Anita Handicap out on the coast. And then Tommy Lee, who was the second highweight on the experimental that year. And so Mr. Combs bought the horse and brought him over here and went to stud out here at Spendthrift Farm. He didn't do really well in this country. Did a whole lot better in England, you know. All of his really good horses were conceived abroad. But he really didn't. I think he sat about 10 stakes when he was over here.
Huh.
But anyway.
Sent him back.
But I remember Tommy Lee real well. He was a kind of a dark bay he had a star and a bit of a stripe. And I think his off right hind was white. I'm pretty sure that's right. But I'm not sure about that now. That I would really have to have a memory to remember that. But I remember the horse's looks. Oh, yeah, let's see. Where was I? Joe Palmer. Maybe we'll get something to talk about, read about from Joe. And, of course, Jackie's got her announcements.
And next week, we're on, of course, it's new Christmas Eve. We're on from 10 till noon, but we're going to do Old Pastures again.
Right.
We always try to do that because it's about a horse that...
About a rescue.
A rescue, and we do that because we have so many wonderful friends in the rescue business.
Right.
So
including us.
Including us, yeah, I know. Our little guy that we got from... River Downs. He was a nice horse, went down the claiming ranks, wound up crippled. So we went up and got him. How many years ago?
We've had him 6 years.
Oh, is that okay? So we've had him 6 years. In the past 3 or 4 years, he's been pretty sound. He goes running and carrying on. And then what, about a month ago?
Yeah, about a month
ago. Came, three-legged horse. Oh, swell.
Yeah, when we first got him, we had to keep him in a stall for about a month and then turn him out in a small teaser paddock. And he finally got over it, you know.
So, we had it now.
We had it x-rayed and again.
He's probably got another chip, and you can't do anything about it because the joint's just a mess anyway. It's which one? All four. And so he's been in the stall how long?
He'd been in stall, it was a month Thursday.
Was it?
Yeah.
So he's just now starting. We thought last week he wasn't going to make it because it just, you know, wasn't getting any better. But now this past, what, 3, 4, 5 days, he's looking better. His mm-hmm. outlook looks a little more cheerful because he's just what? How old is he?
He'll be 15 on the first.
He'll be 15, so if we can... Yeah. Keep him together.
He was such a nice little racehorse. That,
we've cornered the Butte market. But.
Yeah, he was a he won allowance races on the grass at Belmont and at Gulfstream. You know, it was a nice little racehorse.
Did he? How many races did he run? Did he run a lot?
I don't think he ran all that many. Maybe 30, 35 races or something like
yeah.
that.
The interesting part is he's beautiful. He is real light-boned. He's small. What is he, 15'2"?
Yeah, about 15'2".
And he's got this real typey, almost Araby head, great big eyes, beautiful. And not the least bit grateful in this world. No, feed me, you know. And
but he's been great since we've kept him up. He knows he's hurt.
It's yeah.
He knows he's hurt, so he's been real good in the stall.
Yeah. We know another thing, too. Somebody has beat him
one
right-handed. One time or another in the head. Because if you hold him with your left hand and facing him, you've got Shank in your left hand, and I've got the Butte kind of off to my right. If I move my right arm up and toward him a little too fast, he's back against the other wall. He's been
yeah, but other,
beating around the yeah. head.
I stand around the side, don't have any trouble here.
Now, he's, well, you know. He's,
I better do a break here.
Oh, okay, go
well,
ahead.
Well, Horace Greeley broke his maiden as a 2-year-old by 4 lengths. Then, in his next start, won the Grade II $250,000 Del Mar Futurity, getting the 7 furlongs and 1:22 and change. A couple of impressive performances, so impressive that he was assigned 119 pounds on the experimental free handicap. Then, in just 2 starts as a 3-year-old, he placed in Grade I stakes. Horace Greeley is the son of the internationally successful Mr. Greeley by Gone West. Gone West, much like his sire, Mr. Prospector, is a sire of sires. Sons of Gone West, currently ranked on the general sire list, include Sprightstown and Elusive Quality. Horse Greeley's Dam by Stormcat won over $317,000. He placed in 4 graded stakes, 2 of them were Grade I. His second dam won Grade I stakes and was a multiple graded stakes producer, so it's a running family. Horse Greeley stands for $5,000, doing a full stands of nurses. First Crop Yearling sold for $80,000, $40,000, $40,000. And he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website, claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Bob and John now has 16 two-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop. That's a solid start for a sire whose progeny figures to improve when the distances stretch out. Of course, Bob and John, he did very well as a two-year-old, breaking his maiden by 11 and a half lengths at Del Mar and placing in two stakes, including a third in the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity. But he really came into his own at three, winning the historic Grade 1 Wood Memorial and the Grade 3 Sham Stakes, and he came back to win graded stakes again at four for earnings of nearly $1 million. By seeking a goal out of graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister Bob and John, stands at Pin Oak Stud for $7,500 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the stallions Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Broken Vow, sire of 20 2011 stakes horses, including dual Grade 1 winner Sassy Image, stands for $25,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire by the champion sire Giant's Causeway. His first foals will be yearlings in 2012, and he stands for $7,500 live foal. Sky Classic, winner of an Eclipse Award, has sired 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses. His stud fee, $10,000 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website, pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do.
All righty. Okay, let's do for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, my friend David Schweitzer. The breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners last week, and the Grade 1 Hollywood Starlet Stakes was won by Killer Graces, which was trained. It was bred by Brian Kahn right here in Kentucky. They just ran two graded stakes yesterday. Last weekend, and the other one was won by some horse that was bred a little bit south of here. Let's see what else we've got. Moving right along. Turning the page in my trusty old Thoroughbred Times. The Gold Rush Stakes, the Golden Gate winner, Russian Greek, a two-year-old. He's a Giant's Causeway, and he was bred by Overbrook Farm. And he was, he's one of 21 stakes winners of 2011 by Giant's Causeway. 12 of them are graded stakes winners, and three of them are Grade 1 stakes winners. So the Southampton Stakes at Parks went to Il Villano, bred by Vossfield Bloodstock Group. And the Spearfish Stakes at Hollywood Park, Celestial Kitten won that one, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. And guess who that one's by? One of them kittens.
One of them kitten toys.
All right. The Dance to Bristol won the Pandera Stakes at Aqueduct, bred by Mr. and Mrs. David Garner. The Sandpiper Stakes down at Tampa Bay, Quick Flip, bred by Nakia Farm and Hunter Valley Farm. The My Charmer Stakes, that, of course, is run at right up the road here at Turfway Park. And Tracy Farmer bred La Gran Balladora, who won that one. Now, here's a goodie. The Cathay Pacific Hong Kong Cup, Grade 1, $2,570,000. California Memory won it, bred by Fred Seitz.
Hey.
Good old Fred. Fred's one of my favorite people.
$2 million.
The purse was $2,570,000. That got Reggie's attention over there.
Oh, listen.
He almost fell off his stool. The Shimbun Hai Grade 3 race. Now, this is a Grade 3 race. This was one of the cheap races over there. The purse was just $1,008,000. And Cosmo Phantom won that. Joan Hadley Thoroughbreds was the breeder. The Valedictory Stakes up in Canada went to Eagle Poise. That's an empire maker, another one. Geez, he's having a good year. Too bad he's gone. Anyway, and this one was bred by Judmont Farms. So that's the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last year. Weren't a whole lot of stakes. Well, they had a bunch of them, but a bunch of them were restricted to fairgrounds horses. They ran about 10 stakes down there, and then there was an Illinois Bred Stakes, and you know how that goes. All right, Jackie.
Oh, give me that magazine.
Oh, yeah, there's something in there that I wanted to...
I'll tell you what. Here's the best news. Instant Racing handles up about $2 million a week in November, up 24%. This is, of course, instant racing, electronic form of gambling based on old horse races. This was $6.8 million was wagered at Kentucky Downs. They averaged $2 million a week in bets. Most of that money, 91%, paid back to gamblers in winnings. The rest, $725,000. Track and the state gets 17%. But half goes to the remainder as we slowly divvy this stuff up. KTDF puts money back in purses. So about $147,000 for purses through instant racing tax revenue.
All right.
The good part, the real good news for the thoroughbred business, if you want to know, was the re-election of Steve Beshear as governor, because he's going to work real hard to get
help.
Whatever you help. Anything to help. People are leaving to go, and they're breeding elsewhere where the purse money's better. You got to go. You got to follow the money.
We'll do one more announcement, and then we'll do it.
Hey, guys. The guys are here.
My good friend, Richard F. Broadbent the Fourth, better known to everybody in the world as Happy. I didn't know he was named Richard. But it's always been Happy to me, you know, anyway. And anyway, he's a vice president of Churchill Downs. And he and a couple of other people that I don't know have been appointed by the Thoroughbred Racing Association of North America to the Equibase Management Committee. And they couldn't get a better man than Happy Broadbent, as far as I'm concerned. He's been great to me down through the years. And I'm pleased to count him as a friend. Pleased to count him as a friend. All right, let me do a... I want that back when you're through with it.
Yes, sir.
There's something on the back page that I want to read. Anyway, okay, well, Unbridled Song has hired 93 stakes winners, including 13 Grade 1 stakes winners, with 12 stakes winners and earners of more than $7,840,000, ranks among the top 10 sires of 2011, and it stands for a fee of $85,000. Now, one of his 13 Grade 1 stakes winners, and certainly one of his fastest, is First Defense. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21-2 to take the Grade 1 Forego Stakes at Saratoga by nearly 7 lengths, ran 6 furlongs and 9-2 to win the Grade 3 Jiper Stakes at Belmont, got 7 furlongs and won 20-4 at Belmont, and won 22 at Churchill, and finished a dead game second to Hardspun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop, and he was also second in the Grade 2 Alfred G. Vanderbilt for earnings of over $580,000. And what a sire family. By Unbridled Song, First Defense is out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to the highly successful sire's Empire Maker. We were just talking about him as the sire of a nice stakes winner last week. And Chester House. Doesn't get any better than that. First crop yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $165,000 this year. And he stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also of Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. Okay, I want to talk about my good friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Tom, of course, I've known Tom for a number of years. And if I ever have to sell my farm, if Jackie kicks me out or something, I guess... I guess I'll call Tom, you know. I don't know who else I would call. And, well, he's somebody you can trust to do a good job for you. And he always has great listings. You need to go to his website and look those over. I know Jackie goes over there and slobbers all over the computer looking at some of the listings that he has. And, boy, he's got some good ones. And he moves them, too. He's got some property out close to us. Which, that's no recommendation, of course. But anyway, it's if you want to be a neighbor and put up with us, you'll be able to do that. Just call Tom and say, I want to move next to Jackie and Ursel. And he can accommodate you. So he's got great listings. And his number is 277-2030. And also, let me give you his website. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com. That's B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. Sure enough, go on there and look it over, because he's really has some great property for sale, always. Well, Giant's Causeway was represented by his 110th stakes winner last week at Golden Gate when the 2-year-old colt, Russian Greek, won the Gold Rush Stakes. He is, for the third consecutive year, number one on the general sire list, and he is also the leading USA-based sire stakes winners with 21, three of them grade one. 12 graded, incidentally. Well, Noble Causeway is a grade one performer by Giant's Causeway out of the hard-hitting race mare Mimi's Golden Girl by Seeking the Goal and a multiple grade one stakes winner Classy Kathy by Private Account. Noble Causeway's first foals are 2-year-olds and he has a multiple stakes winner plus two others that have been placed, that have placed in stakes. And Michael's timing this commercial over here, I think. He stands for $5,000 at Crestwood Farm. Also at Crestwood are the stallions Kipling, Mutata, Nobiz Like Showbiz, and Tis Deja Vu. Kipling, a proven grade one sire, stands for $5,000. Mutata, one of over 100 stakes winners by Mutocton, stands at private contract. Nobiz Like Showbiz, a grade one stakes winner of over $1,544,000, stands for $5,000, and Tis Deja Vu, multiple graded stakes winner by Tis Now, also stands for $5,000. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. Breeding incentives are available. Inquiries to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
All right. Well, Michael Blowen is here, and Dr. Doug Byers here. And how fast did I do that?
30, 35 and 4 breezing.
Okay. I thought it was driving.
35 and 4 B, barely.
Barely, you're right. That's more like it. Or P, poorly.
Yeah. We could work out a whole system here.
Yeah, right, a whole system.
Pull up short.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
And spit out the bit. Yeah, I've done that before. All right, guys, how are you all this
good morning? It's been a good week, Ursel.
Good. What's going
except
on?
Except for Indian Charlie. I feel terrible about
Indian
Charlie.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. That was
you
really,
must have
really
died real quick, you know. He had cancer. You'd think that would be a long, drawn-out thing, but in his case, it was not.
It probably was.
You think it was?
Well, you know, with cancer, you know, you generally do have a long, drawn-out thing, and then it crescendos.
Yeah.
So when he started to what we call decompensate, it was more than he could handle. That's a typical picture in a lot of these horses.
Yeah.
Now he didn't have weight loss, and he looked great.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, he looked fabulous. He
It had a long name to it. Hell, I couldn't even pronounce it, much less spell it.
Yeah,
here he comes, folks.
Yep.
Stand ready.
You're ready.
Got your pens out.
He had a hemangiosarcoma, which is not, it's pretty rare. Pretty rare. You have hemangiosarcomas. Anytime you see a cancer name that has sarcoma, that means malignant.
Yeah.
Okay? And if it has just oma, like a hemangioma, that's a benign tumor. Mm-hmm. So that tends to be more localized. With him, you know, we could see the tumors in the spleen very easily. But we also had a chest full of blood. So he had from his abdomen, how did he communicate with his chest?
Yeah.
So then you start to put those two pieces of the puzzle together and say he must have a metastatic or metastasis of whatever's in that spleen is compromised his chest.
Yeah.
So we sent him into the hospital, and Dr. Slovis did a terrific job. He transfused him and got him stabilized. He wasn't in distress.
Yeah.
He just was not doing right. His heart rate was elevated, and really that was the number one thing. They said, you know, how come he's got a heart rate of 72. So Dr. Slovis and the people over there at the clinic did a great job and keep him comfortable, and then they biopsied him when it was safe. And because you owe the horse knowing what is wrong.
Yeah.
You knew he had cancer, but you wanted to get a definitive diagnosis to say, look, is this cancer hopeless? And so that particular tumor, hemangiosarcoma, would be considered a hopeless tumor. Yeah. Now, I've seen hemangiomas in horses' hips and they things like that, and they go on to live for years. You know, they bleed into a local area, but, they go on to live for a long time. And people are pretty much the same way. When you put the sarcoma on the end of a cancer name, you need to raise your eyebrow and pay a lot of attention. So pretty much knew that he had to have some kind of a metastatic process. And so they confirmed that, and so those are the things. And then I would also say that Governor Jones and wife and the whole farm very attached to that horse. And so they'd rather put him down with dignity, you know, when he still looked reasonably good. He lost some weight while he was at the hospital, but, you know, he was pretty happy over there.
Yeah.
So just because he's happy, you're not going to go on forever. You know that it's going to go become...
Yeah, rather than watch him just kind of...
Right.
...wither away or something. Yeah.
Which is the greatest gift veterinarians have, is we have euthanasia. When it's not abused, when it's used properly, we can either end suffering or we can prevent suffering. Yeah. And that's kind of the way I look at that.
That little horse that I've told you about, I guess Jackie talked to you about it, but we've got it home now. He's slowly getting better, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. We're hoping that he's going to make it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's been up for a month now.
Right, right.
He's real quiet and nice in the stall.
Well, if he takes care of himself, that's a lot of the battle. And a lot of these horses, the good horses generally tend to figure it out.
He's starting to put weight on it.
Uh-huh.
And moving around and,
right.
Getting more. Anyway, it's encouraging.
Well, that, you know, what Dr. Bias says is true, too. I mean, we noticed it with Marquetry. You know, he came out of his colic surgery, and he's so smart. He just knows how to handle himself. He knew how to take care of himself. He wasn't going to pick at it and, at the incision. I mean, he's done everything he's supposed to do, and now he's out in the round pen. He looks great. He's fully recovered. Yeah. So,
did you put in a round pen there?
Mm-hmm. No, it was already there. It's been there forever.
I don't remember seeing a round pen.
Well, that's because you don't get in the back.
Oh.
You know, you just go
around
the front.
You've got
to go in the back.
Back 40?
Back 40. Oh, I have some other good, interesting news, too. I got a nice call from Del Hancock over at Claiborne Farm the other day, and they're donating a tree, a birch tree from Claiborne Farm to put up at Newer's Grave at Old Friends.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice Christmas thing to have, don't you think?
It is.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas, what is that?
What?
You were going to say something. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I'm trying to connect Noor with
Prince Quillo.
By Prince Quillo. Yeah.
Oh, he's losing it.
Joe, he's a gen.
Back in the 20s and the 30s and 40s, I thought for sure.
Oh, shut up.
I wish this was live TV. Everybody needs to see this discussion.
I knew that Charlie Kenny had Noor here, and I was trying to say, well, why would Claiborne, be interested?
There you go.
Okay, I didn't.
See?
But he wasn't by Prince Quillo, he was by Nasrullah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
right.
Smart,
Nasrullah.
Smart guy.
All right, there you go. See, it's finally clicking in.
Right.
Yeah, Nasrullah, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I stand corrected.
Open mouth
by
and
my superiors.
Foot over there.
I stand corrected by my superior.
Other than your new birch tree, what else is going on at Old Friends?
All kinds of things. What are we going to do for the Christmas show next week?
I don't know.
We've had a lot of requests at Old Friends for you to sing O Holy Night.
Next week,
if you'll sing O Holy Night, they're planning to record it and put it on their iPads and stuff. Put it in their tunes. Ursel Sings Christmas. I think it's a great idea for a fundraiser for Old Friends.
They would rule me off. I'll tell you that. Here comes Neil Howard already. You all know Neil from over at Claiborne?
Oh, yeah.
Gainesway,
Yeah, let's get that straight.
I'm going to leave. I know him. I'm out of here.
It's funny. All right. Well, let me do a commercial. We'll get Doc on. And Neil's my guest. Come on in, Neil. Come on in. Pull up a stool. We'll get you on in a minute.
He don't believe anything you say, do
he? No, he fits right in.
I said Neil Howard was a good guy.
Neil says, you don't believe anything he says, do you? And I said, no, he fits right in. Well, let me do a commercial here, Seth, and then Doc will get you on.
All right.
All right, and then we'll get Neil on here for long, okay?
That sounds like a fabulous idea.
You can stick around also if you've got something smart to say again.
Like, no, but I do want to say one
like
thing.
Like telling me that Noah was by Prince Quillo.
I do want to say one thing. I went through the 1995 Stallion Register with my friend Rick Capone, who's a sports editor at the Woodford Sun. And you know how many of our horses are in that Stallion catalog?
How many?
19.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Good night. Yeah. Did you tear the pages out and gonna?
We got them all marked, and we're gonna have a whole thing. So when people come to the farm, they'll be able to see all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's pretty neat. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let me do a commercial set here. Albertus Maximus won the Grade One Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade One Don Handicap at Gulfstream. He set a new track record the day he won the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He was second in the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, second in the Grade 3 Affirmed Handicap, third in the Grade 1 Goodwood. He met and defeated the likes of Well Armed, Einstein, Perfect Drift, Mass Track, Great Hunter, Bulls Bay, to mention just a few. Retired with earnings of $1,328,230. Albertus Maximus, by any measure, was a runner of superior ability. Now for the good news. He's to stand his first season of stud free to approved mares. That's my price range.
Now, you've got to find an approved mare.
Yeah. Now for the good news. He is to stand his first season as stud, free to approved mares. I had to repeat that. And there's more. A $5,000 bonus will be awarded to the breed of his first winner, and a $10,000 bonus to the breed of his first black type winner. Albertus Maximus is one of two millionaires by the $3 million earner, Albert the Great, and he's out of a daughter of 49er, and a Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 producer, Race the Wild Wind. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Well, I've done some Christmas shopping over at Quillintack. Jackie went over and bought some presents for the kids.
Nice.
Various and the Sunday.
I'm always glad when she buys my present there.
Well, don't hold your breath, old buddy. Hell, you're getting free halters from there now. What do you want?
I know that. I know that. And I'm very appreciative, and I thank Jackie very much.
You don't thank me. You better thank Ralph Quillen. That's who you better thank. And it's a great tack shop, though.
Yeah, it is great.
And of course, it's down in Paris. And if you're going to want to go to it, it is a good place to Christmas shop, especially if you've got kids. And if you want to give away those belts with the... with the name on it. If you're afraid about being caught with your pants down somewhere, they don't have to put your name on it. They can just fix your belt, you know.
Can you put somebody else's name on it?
Yeah. Hey, that would be good. Put Dr. Byer's name on it.
And just leave him around town.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, anyway, but it's in keychains and things.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, do you hear that, Susan? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it's a great tack shop, and they sell about 19,000 halters a year, mail them all over the world, and that superb work. And here's how you find them, incidentally. If you're going into Paris in the Lexington area, just go straight in Paris Pike, go to the third stoplight, and it's right on the corner, and you can't miss it. And just tell old Ralph down there that you want to see everything he's got for sale, and he'll show it to you.
Yeah, tell him you want to see Ralph, too. Sometimes he likes to hide up in the upper office, and, you know.
Yeah, did you ever go up those steps?
When I show up over there, I know he scatters. Oh, my God, here he comes. He runs up there and hides.
I think he hides up there because us old folks can't climb those steps. That's what it is. Anyway, that's Quillin Tack and Leather, and its website is QUILLIN.com. Okay, now let me do one more here, and we'll get back to you guys. Spring at Last has been popular with breeders since day one of his retirement. They came to see him, liked what they saw, and he covered more than 270 mares in his first three seasons at stud. So he's going to have the numbers in his favor when his first foals race is two-year-olds next year. Spring at Last is one of 85 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. In fact, he is his sire's leading money-winning son at stud. He won the Grade 1 Don at Gulfstream, dismissed the 9-furlong track record by 2/5 of a second, went abroad and whipped a world-class field of milers in the Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile, a distance in which he was never defeated while competing on dirt and turf, and he sprinted a mile and won 33-2 in New York. A graded stakes performer for three consecutive seasons, Spring at Last retired with earnings of over $1,139,000. He's one of three graded stakes winners, two grade one stakes winners out of Winners Gone by Dynaformer, and he stands for $7,500 doing a full stands and nurses. There's a 5% discount if you pay that fee by November 1 at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Righty, if we can stop Arthur Hancock from singing in the background here, we'll get Dr. Byers on. Doc, what we going to talk about? You talked about Indian Charlie already.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of things. I'm going to make a huge mistake. I'm going to put Michael back on.
Uh-oh.
Last week I said, you all, every horse person around Kentucky, anybody that cares anything about a horse, needs to go over to the horse park and see that exhibit that they have on loan from the New York Museum of Natural History. And so Michael went. He actually paid attention to what I said. So
actually,
Michael
paid, too.
He didn't pay to get in.
I did pay to get in.
So you can comment.
Well, it is an amazing exhibit. First of all, it's all concentrated from the Museum of Natural History in New York, but it's the whole evolution of the horse, and it's got everything, and there's no excuse why people shouldn't go and see this. I know a lot of people are going to see the Southern Lights. I think there's even a price deal if you get admission to the park and you go to Southern Lights, you also get to go to the exhibit too.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to last up until the spring, but you know, now that the weather's getting a little chillier and people are looking to do things inside, you have to go and see this.
Okay, I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, well, see. There you go. They're advertising in the Herald Leader. You should read the Herald Leader and see their ads.
Well,
it's a great exhibit.
I used to take the Herald Leader, but my canary died.
Oh, gee whiz. Oh, my God. He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, this movie, The War Horse, is coming out. And, you know, you go through that exhibit and you'll connect all the dots when you start to go through that and realize the sacrifice.
That horse is a thoroughbred, you know.
Is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. He raced a couple of things. A California bred. He had a pedigree I've never heard of. But he ran about three times, didn't get anything. But there was I read a note about him somewhere. I don't know if it was in the form or...
It's in the Thoroughbred Times here.
Wasn't he in the Seabiscuit movie as well?
Well, the guy that has him, that trained him for this film and everything, was the guy that was in handled those Seabiscuit horses.
Yeah, Rusty Hendrickson.
Okay, well, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Okay.
He's a great guy. He does all. He did Dances with Wolves. He does all the big movies with horses. Rusty does.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess the other thing I was going to talk about it, and I was going to bring Chris McCarron's not here this morning. I was going to bring him a vitals kit to show to his students and go through that from the Kentucky Horse Council. I don't know if I can promote something here, but you know that kit. And at the Horse Council, it's down on Newtown Pike, about $35, and it's just absolute bargain. The stethoscope is not cheapo; it's a decent stethoscope. You get your digital thermometer, and it beeps at 15 seconds, so you learn how to take heart rates and do all those things that just every farm should have around.
Yeah,
and so. You know, we
where do you pick them up?
At Hagerty's? On Newtown Pike. No.
No? Horse Council Office.
Horse Council Office. Well, can I leave a number?
Sure.
All right. Well, you would call at 859-367-0509. Now, what this kit contains is a stethoscope and the digital thermometer, and it has... instruction guidelines are actually attached to the stethoscope. So if your heart rate is X amount, Neil Howard might even buy one to put in a broodmare barn somewhere. And you know, so it tells you how to take that heart rate. And if this mare didn't eat her dinner and her heart rate's 80,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's a huge flag. I mean, you're
standing heart rate it is.
Yeah. Yep. So she ought to be half that. And just one little simple thing, and you're not trying to play veterinarian, you're just trying to help everybody connect, because that horse, as I always say, is the deaf mute. And if you can do a pretty decent job. So you've got the instruction there thing, and then there's a chart that's laminated that kind of lets you have a reference guide where what are you listening to and what does it really mean. So, you know, if that mare's heart rate is 40 and her membranes look good, it tells you how to look at membranes, and you put the stethoscope on her and by golly, she's got a pinging sound in her abdomen. I don't know what it is, but we probably ought to get somebody to look at her and not just take for granted we'll give her 10 cc's of Banamine and see if she's pretty happy in just a little while and goes back to eating. So, you know, it's a helpful tool that everybody benefits, mostly the animal. I was going to promote a good Christmas gift for just about anyone associated with the horse industry is to pick up a Vitals kit. I mean, it's a great...
$35, you say?
About $35.
That's a bargain.
I gave you and Jackie one.
Yeah, we got it.
Yep.
He taught me how to use it, and if I can learn how to use it, believe me, anybody can use it.
Well,
because he got sick of me calling him up blabbering, some horse is this, and I'm emotional and all this kind of stuff. He goes, listen, I need information. What's the heart rate? What do the gums look like? He's giving me all the things, and he finally taught me how to do that. And it's helped a lot of horses.
You check them out and then panic.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I can only panic after I hang up from Dr. Byers.
So that's my promotional thing, and that's about really all I want to talk about. It just that's a great gift to get, and for kids that are teenagers and getting involved in horses, it's perfect.
Yeah, and the kid, the class over here,
and I've got one for Chris, and I want
spit it out, Ursula.
Yeah, so where should I leave that? For Chris.
You can leave it with us, and we'll get to it. Get
okay,
it
I'll bring it up here, and I'll leave with you if you can be trusted.
We'll
and if I could teach Michael, it's possible I could teach Neil Howard.
Well, it's
taking all the abuse back here now.
Yeah, poor Neil, walk in. He's been taking all his abuse from Doc now. Yeah.
No, it's a decent, it's quality stuff. It's not junk, and so it's not.
We talked. I don't know if you remember. We talked about little Jackie Davis, Robbie Davis's daughter. You know,
yeah, she won two yesterday or the day before.
Take it out of my mouth, will you? They moved her to New York.
Yeah,
and of course she broke won her first one on her dad's horse up there. You know, and she rode two winners yesterday in New York, and she's won. We had her on the show here, and she was a sweet little girl.
Robbie wants to come out of retirement and ride one race with her.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'll probably have to draw himself a little bit, I think. She can't weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And her little brother is here now, you know. Dylan is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Yeah, he weighs 95.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. As a handicapper, one of the greatest handicapping angles in the history of horse racing is betting the kids that come out of this racing academy to finish in the money, because they all ride their horses out. Adam Bowman is riding at Philadelphia Park, and every time I turn around, his horse is paying $26 to place, $30 to show. I mean, it's unbelievable. So if you get a list of Chris's graduates and you play them, when you go to in the superfectas and in the triples and stuff like that, I think you might make some money.
Yeah. Adam's a good kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really very fond of him. He's... And he's one. He weighs 92.
And he'll come down that rail. I mean, he's fearless, this kid.
And looks for it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the shortest way home. Yeah. That's come on, sit down, Neil.
Not more.
No, you're
trying for you to get on, Neil. He's trying to get rid of
you guys.
He's trying to get rid of us.
No, all right. I've got to do a commercial break here, but you can join in.
I got to go for my taxi. I got to go with Dr.
Are you riding with Doc?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He went to get a kit.
Oh, did he?
But I have to ask somebody, if anybody has a used microwave they're not using in the basement, our microwave in the barn broke, and we need something to heat the lunches with. So if anybody's got a used microwave in their basement they want to donate to old friends, I'd really appreciate it.
Eat whose lunches?
Huh?
Eat whose
lunches? We eat lunches out there, you know, burritos and stuff. Just throw one in the microwave and heat them up.
Taekwondo's things don't cost $40 anymore.
Well, I know, but that's $40 we can't spend on other stuff. What's the matter with you? You think He says, do I look like I'm making $1 million here?
No, you look like a boom, as Hornet, as a matter of fact.
You're going on the farm.
Oh, see, Matt's already here. Every time I turn around, Matt's donating hay or donating a microwave. Unbelievable.
These two are neighbors. Matt Howard just came in, and, of course, Neil Howard's right. They live within hailing distance of each other there. Yeah.
Well, Neil's got that great farm over there. I remember I got a tour there one time. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, Gainesway? Yeah, that's two old great farms.
I went back there with Larry, the arborist.
Oh, Ryan, you mean?
Yeah, and we went around, and he showed me, and all of a sudden I turned around, and you know, there's a very modest house, and there's a swimming pool. In front of the swimming pool, there are these three Henry Moore sculptures that are just unbelievable. I mean, they have one outside the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. It's spectacular. Yeah. And I looked down, and I go, it was like I was looking at the thing that they're looking at in 2001, A Space Odyssey. I'm going, what, how did these land here? It's just unbelievable. But anyway, it's a great farm. And I have to say this about Gainesway before I leave. They take great care of their retired horses. And it's unbelievable to see all their retired stallions over there.
Yeah, well, that's a class outfit. Yep. Always has been.
All right, Urso. Well, are we going to do this Christmas Eve, or are we going to do a recording?
We'll have to record it.
Okay.
So, and I think, Ressi, when are we going to do it? Tuesday at 11. Can you do it Tuesday?
Sure, whatever you say.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, can you come down, and we're going to record the Christmas show Tuesday, Christmas Eve show.
I'll have to get paid extra.
You will?
Yeah, yeah. Get paid.
We'll double what we've been paying you.
So. We'll sing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
This way you can say you opened up somebody else's gift.
Open up Chris's gift.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Russell, thanks a lot.
Okie doke. All right, thank you. Warrior's Reward covered 152 mares in his first season of stud this year. He's off to a great start. With his racing record, pedigree, and confirmation, that comes as no surprise. Warrior's Reward sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21-3 to win the Grade 1 Carter and was labeled the fastest son of Medaglia d'Oro by True Knicks. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21-2 at Churchill, and he won 21-4 at Gulfstream, and he finished 1, 2, 3, and 6 graded stakes. They were at Saratoga, Aqueduct, Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill Downs, at distances from 6 furlongs to 1 1/8 on dirt and artificial. You didn't have to pick his tracks. And he earned nearly $600,000. Warrior Reward Sire, Medaglia d'Oro, stands for $100,000. And you'll find his name right close to the top of the 2011 sire list. And his dam is a grade one producer by seeking the gold from a superior stakes family. Warrior's Reward stands for $15,000 doing a full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Your inspection is invited. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffey at 299-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend, Ron Wallace. Ron has Equine Farm Management, Inc., a firm that he established back in 1995. He's had plenty of management and experiences from Judmont Farm and Three Chimneys Farm before he went into this. And what he does, he manages smaller farms, or a big one if you have to, but he can manage 5 or 6 farms. And that way, you little people with maybe 10, 15 brood mares, something like that, you don't have to pay the full price for a farm manager. Like, you know, like Neil Howard said, no, he's making a big buck, see? What's... So, Ron, you probably know Ron, but anyway, he's done a great job. Of course, he handled the dispersal of Chanticleer Farm, managed that farm for a number of years for Prince Saud Ben Khalid, who passed away. And he managed that sale out there. Of course, Double Delta was in that sale. She bought $8,500,000, so he did something right. He does a lot right, and he can help you if you've got a farm that you want to develop the right way. He can do that. He knows who the best contractors are, the best people to build fences, barns, whatever, electricians, even CPAs. Just ask Ron, and he can help you. Let me give you his phone number, and it's 621-1655, and his website is Equine Farm Management. .com. Well, if you were thinking about breeding on the lucrative Indiana bred program, take a good look at Charging Indian, a son of Indian Charlie, who stands for just $1,000, doing a full stanza nurses He stands at Richwine. That's a farm real close to Hoosier Park. In a career compromised by injuries, Charging Indian won his first four starts, a maiden special at the fairgrounds, and three straight allowance races. They were at Keeneland, Oaklawn, and back again at Keeneland. He could run, and he comes from a running family. Now, Indian Charlie is side the winners of four individual Eclipse Awards, and he stands, or stood, you know, he just passed away. His fee was $75,000. Big loss. Well, Charging Indian's dam is by Marquetry, the sire of two Eclipse Award winners. His second dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Northern Dancer, and his third dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Sir Ivor. Now, for more information, go to the website. That's richwinestallions.com. Let me spell that for you. RICHWINE stallions.com. And once again, the farm is very conveniently located near Hoosier Park, right off I-69 at exit 41. Go take a look at Charging Indian. Good-looking horse. We think you're going to like what you see. And that fee, again, $1,000 due in a foal, stands and nurses. Get close to that microphone there. Get close.
I'm close.
Welcome to the madhouse here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we just try to have a little fun. And with those two, it isn't hard, is it?
No, those two is not hard.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, Neil, of course, manages a Gainesway farm right next door. Gainesway is, golly, I remember when one half of it was a C.V. Whitney farm, the other half was Jock Whitney's farm, Green Tree. And
that's correct. It was all split up, and it's all back together now, except for a couple of small parcels.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, this used to belong to H.P. Whitney right here.
Is that right?
Where we're sitting. So all this land right here was Whitney Farm. And we're talking about where the Thoroughbred Center is now. And I'm trying to think who he stood. It stood in that stud barn over there, but he had three or four horses over there now. I had a son of Equipoise. Swing and Sway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, that goes back a couple of years. But I tell you, so who else had property? It was leased here at one time. Phil Chin.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, who else was here? Spendthrift, Leslie Combs.
That's right.
Rented it for a little bit. You might have remembered that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this big white house up here, Ted Bassett was raised in that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is a historic place.
Well, it's all great property and land through here. There's no question about it.
Oh, it's wonderful land. It doesn't get any better than that Elkhorn Creek property down through there, you know. I was raised on the other side. I was raised over on Dixiana back when Mr. Fisher had it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've been over there at Gainesway how long now?
I've been over at Gainesway 13 years now.
13 years?
Yeah. Man. Seems like it was only yesterday, but it's been 13 years.
Boy, you must like the job.
No, I do like the job, and it's a great organization to work for. We've got really good people working for us. The farm, as we talked about, the property's unbelievable, and we've raised a lot of nice horses off that property.
You sure as heck still are.
And still are.
Great horses coming off there. Where were you born? Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Ohio originally.
Well, we'll excuse you that.
But I've been here long enough to say I'm a Kentuckian now.
No, you can't.
You can't?
No, Matt Howard's up here from Kansas, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got this baby. He says, oh, this is a Kansas kid. And I said, look at his papers. It says Kentucky on there. It says, you fold in Kentucky, you're Kentucky bred. So.
Yeah. Well, my wife's from North Carolina, and unfortunately, I think she bleeds the other blue. But
my God. Well, it's been nice talking to you. Well, you tell Jenny she's going to have to convert.
Well, she's pretty much converted. But when they do come to town, it's a little bit of a stretch to see which one that she's going to root for.
I bet she didn't like that last game then.
No, actually, she's pretty good about it. She knows which blue to root for now.
Are you an Ohio State guy?
I mean, I like Ohio State, but like I said, I've been here long enough now that if they were playing each other, I'd root for the blue.
Okay, well, good for you. Well, good.
Yeah.
All right, well, was your family in a horse business, or how'd you get, what happened? How'd that
happen? Well, it really just kind of evolved. I had an uncle in Ohio that actually was a farmer, and I'd spend summers on the farm, cattle and hay and that kind of thing, and
That's work.
That is work. And and we had there was a pony out there, and but I never really got into riding, and still don't ride to this day.
Is that right?
It's just not something that interests me. But my dad was working for Procter & Gamble, and when IBM located here in Lexington, we moved to Lexington. I became really good friends with Bill Hayes, Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad, Bill Hayes, had van service out there.
I knew Bill well.
Where
his wife was lovely.
Yeah, Jane's.
Jane Jeter.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and got to spend a lot of time with him and end up kind of just working with horses and then actually...
Working with Bill?
Working with Bill.
Had a place on Newtown Pike at that
time? Had a place on Newtown Pike.
Okay.
And was working, I was going to school and I'd maybe drive a van for him on the weekends and then Haggard Davis McGee actually had their surgery facility on that piece of property.
And you know, I didn't realize that.
Back on the back side of that's where Dr. Davidson did all his orthopedic surgery and the colic surgeries and all that. And so I was working for Bill a little bit on the weekends, and I went to work for Haggard Davis McGee when their office was located there where Lucky's trim shop is there on New Circle Road right now, right across from... the castle.
Haggard's was out there?
Haggard's office was there on New Circle Road.
Boy, you.
And,
telling me something I didn't know.
I was working for them and going to school too and working with helping Dr. Davidson. And I was kind of a vet tech with out of certificate, but went to UK, got a degree in animal science.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I wanted to go to vet school, or wanted to go to vet school, but as you may know, Kentucky doesn't have a vet school, and at that time, they actually have a deal with Auburn University, and at that time, they only took 20 from Kentucky, and there were about 150 apply every year, and after about the third try, they said, what else do you like to do? And I said, well, I like being with horses and like farm management. And they said, well, you know, you probably should just go that direction. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing it now for 30-plus years. I went to, when I was going to school at UK, I was working for Lee Eaton, night watching, doing various and sundry things there, too. And
Lee was a very, very good friend of mine.
Lee was a good guy, and he was a very good horseman. And
wow, tell me about it.
I learned a lot from Lee. And
he was a perfectionist.
He was a perfectionist. I got many calls at nighttime criticizing something I'd done the day before, but
He sure knew feet.
Oh yeah, he knew feet. He knew a lot. He was just an all around horseman.
Yes, he was.
You know, he and Ted Carr and.
Bumped into Ted just the other day. Ted looks good.
Those guys were, they were hard to beat.
Yeah.
But so I graduated from UK in 76. Actually, went to work for Foxtail Farm in over in Jessamine County.
Who had that name?
Eugene Parr. Eugene Parr. He was an orthopedic surgeon here in Lexington.
Parr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his son actually is one of the top orthopedic guys, I guess, here in Lexington, I'm told, and is still here. But he had at that time. I went to work for him. Worked there a year and a half.
Was he raising horses to sell or what?
They were.
What did they raise?
They were no. They were breeding. They were in the breeding business to sell.
To sell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then.
What time frame is that now?
That was early. That was 76, 76. That would have been 74, 75, something like that.
How long were you with Lee?
I was with Lee 16 years. I worked for Lee I worked for Lee from 1976 to 1992.
Yeah. Well, you learned under one of the best then.
I certainly did.
Yeah, he was one of the best. Of course, he founded that sales agency that is the top one.
All that whole dynamics of how people present horses and stuff to sale and how they're shown and how they're presented, you can trace back to Lee because he's the one started that way.
And I believe he was instrumental in Macaulay's.
Macaulay's feed. I was working for Lee. Lee and Dr. Griggs and Dr. Kidder and some others got together actually and developed a pelleted feed that was designed to fit the area, the grass and the soil. That was designed to fit the area around here. And they had it through Purina, originally did it, and then they had some issues with quality from Purina because Purina makes so much other feed, and every once in a while you'd get a bag of feed with other feed types in it. So Lee and all those guys went to Graham McCulley, and he got the formula, and McCulley still, makes it, and a lot of people use it today.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They're one of my sponsors. I thought I'd get that in.
Yeah, well.
We use it.
It's a good thing.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. I got it, then I'll get right back to
all
you.
Right.
Got to pay the bills, you know.
That's right.
All right. Well, Classic Winner Empire Maker side, 7 Grade 1 Stakes winners, 2 this year. Grace Hall, winner of the Grade 1 Spinaway, and Royal Delta, winner of the Grade... I've got Sinner written here. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic in Grade 1 Alabama, and sold to Keelan for sales topping $8,500 in November. One of Empire's Maker's 7 Grade 1 Stakes winners is Pioneer of the Nile, winner of over $1,634,000. Pioneer of the Nile won Grade 1 Stakes at 2 and Grade 1 Stakes again at 3, and he was second in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby. His dam and daughter, Rordiwar, won Stakes at Churchill Downs. His first foals arrived this year, and he stands for $15,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses. Your inspection's invited at Vinery, Kentucky. And the expert staffs at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, New York, and Vinery, Florida stand ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Just contact John Gasper or Grant Williams or Francis Relahan or Steve Castanola, 455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, Haynesfield, a Grade 1 Stakes winner, more than $1,319,000, retired, going to stand the 2012 season at Airdrie Stud. Haynesfield won 8 stakes. He was a stakes winner every year he raced, 2, 3, 4, and again at 5. Won the coveted Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Eclipse Award winner Blame. In fact, he was the only horse to defeat Blame during Blame's Eclipse Award winning year. He also won the Grade 2 Suburban, another race long noted as a stepping stone to success at Stud. He won the Grade 3 Discovery, and he was second to Jersey Town, yet another Grade 1 Stakes winner by Sprightstown, in a head-bobbing duel in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Sprightstown, winner of an Eclipse Award as champion sprinter, has climbed to number 8 on the sire list, with 14 stakes winners and earners of more than $8 million this year. Haynesfield stands for $10,000 live foal. However, the breeder of record of a first crop Haynesfield graded stakes winner as a 2-year-old or 3-year-old in the U.S. or in Canada will receive a one-time $50,000 breeder's reward and a lifetime breeding right to Haynesfield. In addition, any agent that books a season through Airdrie will be awarded with $20,000 period in cash if the mare produces a graded stakes winner satisfying the above mentioned criteria. So, you want to take a shot at getting a graded stakes winner or a free breeding right to this horse? Just give a call out to Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Alrighty, well, Neil, get a little closer to the microphone. I'm talking to Neil Howard, who manages Gainesway Farm. I left him after 17 years at Lee Eaton out there. Where'd you go from Lee's now?
Well, like I said, I worked for Lee for 16 years, and then in the fall of 92, when Henrik Defiakovsky bought Calumet Farm, he hired me, and I went there and worked there for 6 years.
Okay. Well, that was raising good horses over there, too.
We raised a lot of nice horses over there. That's another one, really nice piece of property, and a lot of history behind that over there, too.
That's a hilly piece of land there, isn't it?
It is hilly, yeah, it certainly is. But it has a lot of nice big trees on it, and you know what they say about property with big trees. So
yeah, right, supposed to be good land.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were there 6 years.
Six years.
And then you went to?
And then in the fall of 98, Anthony Beck came to me and asked me if I would be interested in coming to Gainesway, and I did, and I've been there now 13 years.
13 years, mm-hmm. Boy. They had a lot of good studs standing there, too.
Yeah,
who was there when you first got there, dear?
Well, Leifard was still there. Leifard.
Was Vaguely Noble still there?
No, he wasn't.
He was gone?
There. He was gone, but Leifard was there. Leifard lived till he was 34 years old.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was a good one.
He was very good. They, you know, the Stallions live a long time out there at Gainesway.
Well, yeah, and Michael Blowen was just in here and says that you all take. You just retire right there and take care of them forever.
Yeah, we certainly do. And then, Cozine was there. Cozine was 26, I believe, when he passed on. And but I guess Mount Livermore was was kind of the popular older mm-hmm. stallion when I was there.
Yeah.
Sire of Orientate, you know, champion sprinter, Breeders' Cup champion sprinter.
Yeah, you got some. He was a top miler himself.
He certainly was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that... Blushing Groom, sire line.
Still going good.
Still going very well.
Yeah, it certainly is. You bury him right there?
We do.
Well, I know on the one property there, the old C.V. Whitney property, you've got Regret and Equipoise, and who else is buried in there?
I'm trying to think, yeah, but you're right. Regret's buried there, Equipoise. Becks.
Probably Phalanx.
Yeah.
Belmont Stakes winner there.
Yeah.
Just got beat this far in the Derby.
It's radio, dear.
Mahmood.
Yeah. You know, there used to be a prejudice against gray horses. My dad was managing Dixie and he didn't want any gray horses. And then here came Mahmood. Changed all that.
Changed all that. Yeah. And, you know, we've got Tappet over there, who's gray and
right.
And
let's see, number three or four, and so right there, top five. I know.
He was in the top three, 2011. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is
still there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He'd been a good one. Yeah,
he's very good.
Well, I wonder where he got the gray. Because Pulpit's certainly not gray. But I guess that had to come from the female side.
That's coming from the female side. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And then over on the other the old Jock Whitney place. Yeah. God, the horses.
Tom Fool, a lot of Broomstick. I'm just trying to think.
Is Broomstick buried there?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. There's a bunch of them buried over there. And, of course, the Becks owned Winning Colors.
Mm-hmm.
And
She's
buried over there. So, two of the three fillies to win the Kentucky Derby are buried over there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Regret and Winning Colors.
Regret and Winning Colors, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I went over there with my dad many, many years ago. I've been to both those. The last time I went to the old Green Tree property was when Bob Green was there. Of course, Bob Green just passed away.
Yeah.
But I went over to the other place, the old C.V. Whitney place, where Regret and him. I'd love to see that. If I came over there,
Herschel, you come anytime you want to. I would love to show you around.
I'd love to see those again. You know, because it just brings back some memories. And
there's a lot of history over there.
Oh, whew, boy, I tell you what. You know who trains horses here is John Gaver the Fourth.
Really?
And John, of course, his father was trained Tom Fool. And his grandfather trained. Yeah. It was a Hall of Famer, trained Tom Fool. And then his father trained for Jock Whitney after that.
Right.
He trained Stage Door Johnny. And that, but I guess he's buried over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That must be nice for you just to be around those kind of things.
It's, we don't want to go off that property very much.
Oh, really? Who determined how to name your roads?
Well, I don't know. Well, that was just kind of a joint effort. Again, it kind of had to do with the history of the farm.
Yeah,
and
of course.
That all came about Fayette County requiring that enhanced 911, so that all the buildings are numbered, the roads are marked, so that actually if the fire department or police department has to come out there and they're told to go to 240 Mahmood Lane, the reason why it was done.
So you got a Mahmood Lane and there's the La Troyenne.
La Troyenne, Mahmood, Orientate, Blushing Groom, all those good sires.
Wow, that's a very historic name.
How many barns you got? How many barns?
Yeah, how many acres total over there now?
Total acres, now it's all back together, is 1489, I think.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Close to 1500. Mrs. Whitney still has a piece of property on, I guess you would call it the southeast corner, and then Mrs. Payson has a piece of property on the northwest corner, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Whitney's place right on the corner of Johnston Road and
Bryan Station
over there. How many acres she got sitting in there, I wonder?
Small. 50, 60, something like that, I think.
She got that much?
Yeah.
She doesn't raise any horses there now, does she?
We keep all the horses for her.
Do you?
We keep all of her brood mares. They do. They keep a few of them during the winter months. They like to have a few horses over there during the winter months, a few mm-hmm. brood mares. And there, when you speak about retired horses, the horses that come off the racetrack or horses they've sold and actually they've taken some back that people, once they were through with them, didn't want.
So they
keep some of those retired horses over there.
That's a nice thing. Jock Whitney used to do that. They called him the Gas House Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. You heard of that, I'm sure.
I have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's wonderful that y'all would do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Neil, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you stopping by.
Well, Ursel, I appreciate you having me. This is a first-time experience, but it's been fun to be here, and I appreciate it.
Well, does he have time to say he's not going here?
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, I didn't know what you were going to ask, but I mean, I was, you know, Mr. Beck's been very shrewd in stallion selection, and we've been very fortunate to have the likes of a Fleet Alex who, you know, almost won the Triple Crown. Was third in the Derby, but then
almost went down in the
Preakness.
Almost
went down the Preakness, and then won the Belmont. And then we've got Birdstone, of course, who had two Classic winners in his first crop, and in Summer Bird and Mind That Bird. We've got new sire Hat Trick. Hat Trick is the sire of a 2-year-old champion in Europe this year, Diver Seam. I probably pronounce it wrong, but
don't worry if it's one of those Arab names. I can't handle it either.
And then, of course, we've got Orientate, Smoke Glacken, and we've talked about Tappet, who is...
I guess Tappet's your premier sire, right?
Tappet's the premier sire.
Yeah, he was 1-2 there for a while.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I still think he's 3-4 right in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. My son of Puppet, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great great roster of studs, and it's a great historic farm.
Well, it's like I said, we feel very privileged to be able to live there and work on a farm. It's a lovely piece of property, and the people are great, and I'm sure we'll raise a lot more stakes for us down the road.
Well, I know you know what you're doing if you came up on the lead, and I'll tell you that. All right. Neil, thanks.
Thank you, Ursel. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Say hello to Jenny.
I will. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, let me do something here. Talk about Horace Greeley, who broke his maiden as a 2-year-old by 4 lengths, then in his next start. won the Grade II $250,000 Del Mar Futurity, getting 7 furlongs and 1:22 and 4. Impressive performance, so impressive that he was assigned 119 pounds on the free handicap. Then in just 2 starts at 3, he placed in Grade I stakes. Now, Horace Greeley is the son of the internationally successful Mr. Greeley by Gone West. Gone West, much like his sire, Mr. Prospector, is a sire of sires. Sons of Gone West, currently ranked on the general sire list, include Sprightstown and Elusive Quality. Horse Greeley's Dam by Stormcat won over $317,000, placed in 4 stakes, 2 Grade 1. His second dam won Grade 1 stakes and was a multiple graded stakes producer, running family. Horse Greeley, $5,000, doing a full stanza nurses. First crop yearling sold for $80,000, $40,000, $40,000, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, 2011 is going to go down as the third straight year that Giants Causeway is ranked number one on the general sire list. Through Saturday, December 10, he sired 21 stakes winners this year. And the earners over $11,857,000 with a lead of more than $1,300,000 over the second-ranked sire. And it's noteworthy that his stud fee, he stands for $85,000, and it's lower than the number two-ranked sire. Listed among Giants Causeway's 21 2011 stakes winners are 3 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's the leading sire stakes winners, and no other sire in North America has more Grade 1 stakes winners this year. On December 10 at Golden Gate, he was represented by his 110th career stakes winner. And then the 2-year-old colt Russian Greet, who won the Gold Rush Stakes, charging from 5 lengths back at the 8th pole, in a rousing finish. And yet another 2-year-old colt by Giants Causeway, Grade 1 winner Creative Cause, is sure to be one of the winner book favorites for the 2012 Classics. Number 1 Giants Causeway stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, home also of number 9 ranked Tail of the Cat. Tail of the Cat's $30,000 stud fee is the lowest among all the top 10 sires. Number 11 Fusichi Pegasus and number 18 Grand Slam. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Friend of his. All two of them. That's a joke.
You weren't on air, don't think that.
Oh, okay. Am I on now? Okay, if Chris McCarron's listening, we have the, what do you call this kit?
Vitals kit
from...
That's Vitals, not Vittles now.
He wouldn't get it if it was Vittles. It had already been eaten. But it's from Dr. Byers, and it's for the racing... to the racing school. So it's over here in the clocker stand whenever he wants to pick it up. What's going on?
You're supposed to do your announcements.
Oh.
I'm announcing it.
I'm going to announce this again one more time. That the exhibit of the horse is here through April 6th. That's the one Doc was talking about.
Oh, okay.
And you said, I never heard of it. I say
every week.
Every stinking week I say this. And
I get to take a break when you're on the air.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of the horse, it's they say it's really nice. And it's something to do at the horse park because there's not much left with this in this weather. The gift shop is open for Christmas. Southern Lights goes not on Christmas or Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. So you want to go this week. It's $15 a carload, and it's well worth it. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what is left. This weekend is Kentucky Proud Weekend at Southern Lights. So if you want to go over there and buy something while you're, you know, get over there a little early when you can see. I wouldn't want to buy produce in the dark, but, you know, maybe you do. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, which is located at the Horse Park, is a therapeutic center, and they need good used driving cart. And Maker's Mark Secretariat Center, which is a thoroughbred retread outfit, needs a working condition horse trailer and or pickup truck. So, let's see what else. What's today's date? 17th?
17th, yeah.
Right. You can, let's see, Kentucky Equine Humane Center needs hay and old friends, Stallion Retirement. They need hay, too. Michael always needs hay. Thoroughbred Charities of America is having their 22nd annual Select Stallion Season Auction. This will be January the 7th at the Keeneland Entertainment Center. That's on a Saturday. It'll be at 6:30. They're going to honor old friends with the Industry Service Award and Fasig Tipton with the Leadership Awards. It's a live auction of Select Stallion Seasons, vacation experiences, and more. That's always fun. They always have some good buys on, like 2 weeks in Barbados or something like that. Now, you know the new movie War Horse that you were talking about earlier? That's a retired racehorse. Kentucky Horse Park is launching its expanded literacy program, and it combines horse-themed books and experiences with live horses. They did the Black Stallion for a long time, gave away 15,000 books to more than 10,000. Sounds like half of them got two books. First and fourth grade children is first 2 years, so it's going to expand to other grades. So they're going to do the War Horse book, which is, of course, it's a true story. And that's the movie was based on that book. So if you're interested in more information, call 509-1915 or just get a hold of the Horse Park. It's a nifty idea. It does a lot of good. Also, I think the Bit and Bridle restaurant at the farmhouse is open. They can cater horse shows and meetings. And if you're interested, call Mary Callahan, 259-4212. Masterson Station Park, which is unique in facilities, city facilities. I don't know many people that have anything like this. It's open all year, and it's you can ride year-round. And their indoor is now open Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. You have to sign up, and it's $15 an hour. Call Georgia at 253-0328.
Well, Unbridled Song has signed 93 stakes winners, including 13 Grade 1 stakes winners, with 12 stakes winners and earners of more than $7,840,000. He ranks among the top 10 sires on the 2011 sire list. Stands for a fee of $85,000. One of his 13 Grade 1 stakes winners, and certainly one of his fastest, is First Defense. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2 to take the Grade 1 4 goal at Saratoga, won by 7 lengths. Ran 6 furlongs and 9 and 2 to win the Grade 3 Jiper at Belmont. Got 7 furlongs and won 20 and 4 at Belmont and won 22 and 2 at Churchill. Finished a dead game second to Hard Spun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop and in the Grade 2 Alfred G. Vanderbilt for earnings of over $580,000. And what a sire family. By Unbridled Song, First Defense is out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to the highly successful Sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Doesn't get any better than that. First Crop Yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $165,000. And he stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 Sire Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Gerrit O'Rourke or Aaron Fine. See the website at judmont.com. Well, in 2010, clients of McCauley Brothers garnered 6 Eclipse Awards, and both the Horse of the Year in the USA and the Horse of the Year in Canada were raised on McCauley products. Zenyatta at Don Robinson's Winter Quarters Farm, Biofuel at Burton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. So we thought that'd be a tough record to equal this year. Well, the 2011 Eclipse Wars have not been decided as yet, but so far in 2011, associates of Macaulay Brothers have raised the winners of 110 granted stakes, 24 individual Grade 1 stakes winners. Hear that? 24 Grade 1 stakes winners this year. That's the record to be proud of, and it serves as a testimony to the quality of the products produced by Macaulay Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Now, the folks at Macaulay's would like to add you to their family of successful horsemen. Give Darrell Ward or Mike Warren a call at 873-3333. Talk to them about the range of products available at Macaulay Brothers. They're already working with many of the world's finest horsemen. Love to serve you, too. The office is at 111 Broadway in Versailles, and remember, the at Macaulay's, it's all about the horse. My buddy Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm and also at Harper's Island Farm, two nice, very nice farms, raised a lot of nice... Old Jim, incidentally, that two-year-old that we talked about several weeks ago that Jim Fitzgerald had bred, Say Kingdom, he is an Empire Maker colt that broke his maiden in an impressive fashion out in Hollywood Park, and he goes today in the Grade 1 $1 million cash call fraternity right out at Hollywood Park. So, Jim, we're rooting for you. Hope you still own the mare. It's Sky Kingdom, out of a mare named Sky Beam by King Mambo, and Bob Baffert trains this horse.
So, wow, it's impressive.
Good luck. Well, Jim's raised a lot of good horses over there. Sold a lot of good horses. Had a great sale back in September. Should know what he's doing. He's came up under some of the best horsemen in the world. Michael Osborne, John Williams, and Lee Eaton. We were just talking about Lee a little bit earlier. Well, anyway, he started Knott Griffin Farm back in 1994, so he's been out there going on 18 years now. And I say, if you want a board, you want to sell, you want sales prep, you want to sell privately or publicly, rehab, whatever, he's got the best farm help around, and he can give you some good, sound, common-sense advice also. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. Let me spell that for you, because that's his website, knockgriffinfarm.com, and his phone number is 987-8032. All right, Jackie.
Okay, I guess Master Fitzgerald is, I don't know, is it still deer season? No, it's over, so he's fox hunting today with the Master of the Hounds. So, what a great day to go fox hunting. I mean, it's not breezy and it's crisp, and if you're going to fall in a creek, today's the day you don't want to fall in the creek. Okay, the UK Equine Initiative is going to have a host Equine Showcase and Breeders' Short Course. This is coming up January 20th and 21st at the UK Veterinary Diagnostic Lab in Lexington. The Equine Showcase highlights the latest in research focusing on the young horse. And the Breeders' Short Course, in-depth equine reproduction program, which runs from 8 till 5 o'clock. It's a lot to say. I'm not even going to begin to tell you how to get online with this. This is one of those www things that's two lines long. You need to get a hold of jenny.blanford at uky.edu. Or you can always get a hold of the Kentucky Horse Council. Their number is 367-0509 if you're interested. It's $75 for both, and then you break it down. That's a little like $45 and $35. I have heard from two of my good friends who have had their trailers worked on at Sally Vans. They are so pleased. One friend said had fenders repaired, rubber mat repaired, brakes checked, and bearings packed. Recommend Sally Van to do any work on your trailer. Now, you can call Ben Eversole at Sally. He's got a 513 number, which is Cincinnati. Daggone, and I forgot. I was going to ask your guest. His father worked at Procter & Gamble, so I guess he's from Southern Ohio.
Oh, okay.
That's, you know. Anyway, Ben Ebersole with Sally Van, 513-675-8874. Since I grew up there, I was just interested. 2012 equestrian passes for Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill are for sale. If you ride every day you ride, it's $10. $10 to rent a paddock, $20 for a stall. A yearly pass is $120. However, after January, it will be $110. That'll be $100. It goes down every month. But if you do a lot of riding, that's down there, that's the way to go. Also at Shaker Village, December 21st and 22nd, next Wednesday and Thursday, is a scheduled quail hunt. So you don't want to ride those days down there. You might get shot at. You're supposed to wear a feathered hat or something. Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association is having their annual gala January 14th at Spindle Top, 6 o'clock cocktails, 7 o'clock dinner and dancing. You have a live and silent auction. It's a very nice thing. Bev Henson is the girl that's in charge, 606 Brown Avenue, Shelbyville. She lives in Shelbyville. But if you do MSEDA, Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association, MSEDA.org, you can get all the info. Now, a friend of ours, Dr. Murray West, has a new blog on horse racing.
So Murray loves horses, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, and he's a terrific photographer. He does a great
job. Well, he's owned horses in the past,
Yeah, and he's still solvent, which is an really amazing
He's got a good practice.
Got a good practice. But his blog is called www.2minutelick.blogspot.com, and he's a great guy. It'd be fun. I want to mention Clark Painting Contracting. This is Lee Clark from Winchester. Did our barn
shed
fences, repaired the fences, and they quoted us a price, and they got down where the horses stand a lot, and it kind of dug away from the base of, you know, and the posts were tilting, which means you have to dig them a little deeper and put cement in them. He just went ahead and did it. They didn't come back.
Didn't charge us extra.
Extra. Yes. This guy's straight up. He's a good guy. Ressie used to work for him.
Well, despite Ressie, that.
Despite that. Anyways, 333-1102. I told Holly, our EMS girl, before, you know, we have one barn and one shed. I wanted them to put up a real neat number 7 on the barn. We always used to joke about barn. Anyway, moving right along. There's also a Marwari horse exhibit at the horse park. The last of the exotic Marwari horses in North America. They're from India. It's an Indian breed.
Like the eye.
Well, I know it's kind of got a glass eye, and it's a paint. It looks a little bit like those gypsy horses.
Probably is.
So, but, yeah, it's pretty big. It's pretty sturdy looking. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Let's see. What else have I got here? Horse Council, Thoroughbred Horse Show Association. They're going to have a bunch of horse shows this spring for horses, just thoroughbreds, specially geared to horses off the racetrack starting their new career. So they go out and compete on a basic, even playing field. It's a great idea. And as they have their show scheduled and stuff in the spring, we'll mention them. Old Friends calendars are for sale. 2012 calendars, $25 plus $3 shipping. If you're interested, call them. It's 502. It's Georgetown number. 863. It's a Georgetown number. 1775. Or you can Google Old Friends, but they make great gifts too. My friend Peggy Manus is got a bunch of hunt stuff at her place in Midway. She's a great photographer. It's manusphotography.com if you want to look at her stuff, or call 846-9343.
Well, Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap. Set a new track record the day he won the Windy Sands at Del Mar. He was second in the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, second in the Grade 3 Affirm, third in the Grade 1 Goodwood. Met and defeated the likes of Well Armed, Einstein, Perfect Drift, Mass Track, Great Hunter, Bulls Bay, just to mention a few. Retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. Albertus Maximus, by any measure, was a runner of superior ability. Now for the good news. He's going to stand his first season at stud free to approved mares. And there's more. A $5,000 bonus will be awarded to the breeder of his first winner, and a $10,000 bonus to the breeder of his first black type winner. Albertus Maximus is one of two millionaires by the $3 million earner, Albert the Great. He's out of a daughter of 49er, and Grade 1 Stakes winner, Grade 1 Stakes producer, raced the Wild Wind. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, 2011 has been another successful year for Harlan's Holiday. Through last weekend, he had sired 10 stakes winners and earners of more than $5 million. And that's pretty routine for Harlan's Holiday, a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. He's a sire of 25 stakes winners, 11 of them graded stakes winners, and of some 46 stakes horses in his first five crops, including 3 Grade 1 stakes winners, plus another 5 that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. Stakes like the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont and the Bluegrass and the Alcibiades at Keeneland, to mention just a few. Listed among his 10 2011 stakes winners is a multiple graded stakes winner, Will Cox Inn, graded stakes winner, Silver Reunion, graded stakes winner, Dynamic Holiday, graded stakes winner, Mendip, stakes winner in Grade 1 place, Twinspire. Horsemen are well aware that Harlan's Holiday sires runners, and that's why he sired the sales topper at the 2011 Fazy Tipton July sales and the top price filly at the Barrett's March sale. Harlan's Holiday, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner of over $3,632,000, stands at Windstar for $25,000 due in a full stands of nurses with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Inquires to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Well, I'm back doing 1958 2-year-olds. I've already done the champion 2-year-old that year, which was the first landing. Now I'm going to do Tommy Lee, full of course of 1956 by Tudor Minstrel, out of Old Alliance by Brian Tome, bred in England by D.H. Wells. He raced in this country for Fred Turner Jr. He was from Midland, Texas, and a gentleman named Frank Childs trained this horse, and I remember the horse real well. First time I ever saw him was out of Keeneland, and I was super impressed with the horse. It was, certain horses just kind of ring your bell. And while he was a little light-boned and a little on the rangy side, he had a look about him that this, you thought, gee whiz, this horse is something special. So I went and bet on him, and he won. Went to Churchill Downs and bet on him, winning Derby Day, and he won again. But that certain look that you see, Man of War had it, of course. And incidentally, in the back of the Thoroughbred Times, this week's Thoroughbred Times, on Hoof Prints of the Century, the old time stuff that they write in there, I love it. And it's edited by Mary Simon, that's Mark's lovely bride. And Mary does a wonderful job with this, I think. It's worth a subscription to the magazine just to take it. But a fellow named Ed Johnson had written into the Thoroughbred Record, which was the preceded the Thoroughbred Times, back in December 19th of 1936. And he had gone to see Man of War. And I think it was right when they had moved Man of War from his original stud barn up to the one that where I first saw him, which was up close to Domino's grave over on Huffman Mill Road.
But he kind of caught what I've been trying to tell people about this horse. And he said in this in a letter that he wrote, and he says, to see Man of War is necessary to even slightly appreciate him. He leaves you with an emotional reaction, such as one feels after hearing a soul-stirring symphony. And boy, that's the truth of it. I mean, he just, you'd look at that horse and the hair would stand up on the back of your neck. And you'd think, my God, this animal is something. Well, Tommy Lee kind of did that to me. And not that he was as physically imposing as Man of War was. Man of War was massive. And Tommy Lee was not. But he had that look about him. And, well, anyway. Back in 1956, Mr. Turner, who owned Tommy Lee, wired his agent over in Ireland, got a fellow named Bert Kerr to buy him a weanling colt by Tulliar out of the dam of an Irish 2000 winner, Guinness winner. And he did, and then they later named that colt Tuleg, T-U-L-A-G, they bought him for $25,000. Tuleg went to stud over at same time Tommy Lee did, I think, over to Stallion Station out on Russell Cave Road. That's the land that now owned by Kenny McPeak. But anyway, he never amounted to anything. But he also asked him to buy a colt, any colt, by Tudor Minstrel. There were several in the sale, as a traveling companion for the Tulliar colt, and that colt, which he bought for $6,762, was Tommy Lee. So, good things happen to people who guess like that. Tuleg, as I said, was by Tulliar, who ended up at stud over at Claiborne Farm. Tuleg was, he was kind of unraced, or just slightly raced. Tommy Lee returned to Lou Doherty's Stallion Station when the same time he did. And, of course, Tommy Lee turned out to be sterile. I think he sat about four foals. Well, anyway, racing out in California, trained by Frank Childs, he won his first six starts, all of them in California. Then he came east and finished second in his last two starts of the season. Had an excuse in both races that he got beat. Mr. Childs, who was 70 years old, said he thought Tommy Lee was the fastest horse he'd ever trained. And he trained some good ones. In fact, he trained Bolero, who incidentally went to stud at the Stallion Station also. But he held a world record for 6 furlongs at the time. And Sunday 8:30. And he also trained Dinner Gong and Occupy. So he trained some good horses. Tommy Lee stood about 16 hands, weighed about 1,000 pounds, rangy, rather light bone. He had that bold eye that caught my attention. Made his first start on January the 7th out in California, going 3 furlongs down the straightaway at Santa Anita in 32-4. That'll win for you, won't it? Next start was in May at Hollywood Park, and he won by 9. His first stakes start was in the Hagen Stakes, and he won that by 8, beating a pretty nice horse named Jungle Dancer, who, if I recall correctly, was a son of Native Dancer. In the Charles S. Howard Stakes, he got in traffic down the backstretch after breaking slowly. Shoemaker was on him, rode him in the Derby, incidentally. And he was forced to stand in the saddle to hold him back, and then had him under a tight hold into the turn. Jungle Dancer turned out he was 3 in front, and Shoemaker finally found some room and caught him in the mid-stretch and won by 2. Next start was in the Starlet Stakes. At that time, that was Hollywood Park's premier 2-year-old stakes race. And Tommy Lee was shuffled back at the start and tracked the early leaders, and he took the lead at the 16th pole and won by 3 under Mile Urging. 2 weeks later, on August the 1, he was fired for a splint. 36 days after that, he went to the post in the Del Mar Futurity, wore bandages for the first time because he had had a raw spot about the size of a half dollar on his right foreleg that hadn't healed from the firing. But didn't make much difference. He broke well, relaxed behind the pace of old foals, and took the lead at the quarter pole and won by 3. So that was 6 in a row. So he moved him east, and he was made a supplementary nominee for the Champagne Stakes, which was run on October 11.
And Bill Hartack rode him. And Mr. Childs told him before the race, said, look, he says, this courser can run in front or he can come from behind, so ride him the way the race comes up. Well, Hartack gave him a bad ride. Every jockey in the Champagne, it seemed like, must have had instructions to take back, and all did so, rounding the first turn and leaving the track to Tommy Lee. And instead of going on with him, Hartack attempted to take him back also, and in doing so, he dropped his right rein, and Tommy Lee bore out and bumped intentionally, who was in the race. So after giving up the lead, Tommy Lee came again. He wore down intensely, but he was unable to hold off first landing and got beat a neck. Because he'd been interfered with, he was disqualified and moved back to third. But he lost a lot of ground, and he should have let him roll because he had all that speed and he certainly could have got the distance. 2 weeks later, he drew post position 11 for the Garden State Stakes. And going into the first turn, he lost considerable ground there. Then he got engaged with a speed duel with Intentionally. And after putting Intentionally away, he led right into the last strides when he was collared by first landing again and got beat ahead. They took him back to California, and they fired again for splints, and which had developed just before the old one, just below where the old ones had been. Could have caused and bothered him some trouble in those two Eastern starts. Mr. Childs didn't think so. But those two narrow defeats cost him the champion two-year-old role. He was first landing with a sign 128 pounds and Tommy Lee 126 on a free handicap. And, of course, Tudor Minstrel was by Owen Tudor, foal in 1944. He was a brilliant racehorse, won 8 of his 10 starts. Including the 2,000 guineas and the St. James Palace Stakes. But he had distance limitations, no doubt about that. And it stood in England over and sired some 44 stakes winners. Sired King of the Tudors over there, was a champion two-year-old in England, went to stud over at Dan Ada Farm out on the old Frankfurt Pike. Sired Golden Ruler and some pretty good horses there, King of the Tudors did. He sired a champion two-year-old over there named Tudor Melody, who turned out to be his best son at stud in Europe. Sired a French classic winner named Toro. Sired a champion sprinter over in England named Sing Sing. And about the time that Tommy Lee was running, a good horse named Puna II had won the Santa Anita Handicap out in California. And Mr. Combs, Leslie Combs II, syndicated the horse late in 1958. That was late in Tommy Lee's two-year-old season, and brought him over, but brought Tudor Minstrel over. He sired 10 stakes winners in this country, but really none of them were that as good as what he sired over there. Anyway, I'll tell you who had a pretty nice stud by him was Carter Thornton down at Three Main Stud. He had a horse named Tudor Gray, who was a pretty good kind of a stud horse, speed horse, much like his daddy. 31 stakes winners he sired. Sired first Albert. Sired a nice horse named Bushido, who trained a race for Susan Fisher. Plum Gray, that was one I believe that that Carter bred. Let's see. Sired a champion filly up in Canada named Trudy Tudor. So he was pretty good. King of the Tudors sired 42 stakes winners while he was standing there. Sired a champion two-year-old named Crockett over in England. And like I say, his best son was at stud was Tudor Melody, who stood in France. Let's see, who am I going to do next? The next highest weights on that free handicap were Dunce and Intentionally. Of course, Intentionally went on to become a superb sire. They were in with 123 pounds that year, and Sword Dancer with 122. All righty. Let me see. Warriors, we want to talk about Warriors Reward, who's been getting a lot of action. Warriors Reward covered 154 mares in his first season of stud this year, so he's off to a great start with his racing record and his pedigree and his confirmation. That comes as no surprise. Warriors Reward sprinted 7 furlongs and 121-3 to win the Grade 1 Carter Handicap. and was labeled the fastest son of Medaglia d'Oro by Truenix. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2 at Churchill Downs and won 21 and 4 at Gulfstream. He finished 1-2-3 in 6 graded stakes. Those stakes were Saratoga, Aqueduct, Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill Downs. And there were distances from 6 to 9 furlongs on dirt or artificial. Didn't have to pick his tracks for him. He earned nearly $600,000. Wore his reward sire, Medaglia d'Oro, stands for $100,000. And you'll find his name near the top on the 2011 sire list. And Warrior Rewards Dam is a grade one producer. She's by Seeking the Gold from a Superior Stakes family. Warrior's Reward stands for $15,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Your inspection is invited. Just get in touch with either Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ed Toffey at 299-0030. See the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. And I've just been informed by our stellar producer over here. Are you a producer or are you the engineer? Mary Jane's a producer, I guess, down there.
He's both.
He's both? Nah, Mary Jane gets the job done. We have had, from the Thoroughbred Center, this month, in the first 16 days of this month, 40 winners. And since last week's show, we have had 20 winners. We had 5 winners last night. 4 at Mountaineer, four at Turfway and 1 at Mountaineer. But the trainers of these said 20 winners since the last week's show are, let me see, I have to go back here a ways. Matt Frazier, who saddled a quarter horse to win the Orange Blossom Stakes down at Hialeah. Steve Casey, Ron Pellegrini, Byron G. Scooter Hughes, Eduardo Caramori, Matt Frazier, who saddled another quarter horse to win a stakes race down at Hialeah. That was opening day. And the next day, they run two stakes down there, and Matt's won them both with those quarter horses. Now, I claimed them because they hadn't been down there a week or 10 days, and I clocked them up here. It's fun to clock those things. Doesn't take you very long.
No. About 24
John
seconds.
Paul Puchek, Tommy Mills, Kellen Gorder, Gennaro Garcia, Howard Rice, that's Rusty Rice, Ted Lucas, Paul Garcia, Tracy Young. Tracy's family operates the swimming pool out here. They own that property up there. Ted Lucas, Scooter Hughes had another one, so did John Paul Puchek, Tommy Ray Mills, and Jimmy Corrigan. And so we're knocking them dead out here. I'm real proud of the way these guys are doing. Real proud to be out here, as a matter of fact. So next week, we're going to be on.
Have a Christmas show.
And we're going to have a Christmas show.
Going to do Old Pastures.
I'm going to sing carols.
No, you're not. Not in this world.
Michael Blowen story?
I don't know. We'll see about that.
We'll see about that. But we're going to do the Old Pastures, which takes about 25 minutes.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
That's written by John Tainterfoot back in, I think, about 1913.
Somewhere in there. He wrote The Look of Eagles.
Yes, he did.
He wrote all those wonderful, very colorful essence kind of racetrack.
Yeah, The Look of Eagles was the basis for the screenplay, Kentucky.
The movie.
Yeah, screen movie.
Yeah, when Kentucky. I saw that thing once, they showed it when I was a kid in elementary school, and it was sepia-toned.
Was it really?
Yeah, who was in that?
Richard Green, yes. Loretta Young.
Yeah.
And who is the player? Who is the old man?
The old guy. Was that?
Walter Brennan, yeah. Yeah, he played in every horse movie ever produced.
He and Mickey Rooney. I keep looking for Mickey Rooney in that, see if he's going to jump out somewhere.
So anyway, we're going to do that next week. So
that'll be fun.
It'll be fun. So.
And this show goes up on the Internet from today or tomorrow. And then it's to Keeneland Library. But also it's streamed live at WLXG.com. Heard round the world.
Heard
over those
what?
People in China, you know, they're trying to regulate the internet, but they'll not stop us.
Okay.
Take that, commies.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Until we meet again.